What's up, everyone, and welcome back. You are here with District Baseball once again, and congratulations. There's no place better for your off season and just general baseball news. I'm Nick. He's Trey. We can be found at District BSB over on Twitter/X. Trey, what's going on?
Nothing much, really. We're kind of just waiting for stuff to happen. So we're going to be doing some predictions.
Because... Oh, something happened today. And let me tell you, it's as big to me as like any major free agent signing, because Dom Smith is no longer a National, and it's true addition by subtraction. I am over the moon. I also think, if I'm being serious here for a second, which never happens, it also really solidifies they're in the market for a power bat, most likely a corner infield position, which obviously is also music to my ears. But I think Rhys Hoskins is definitely in play. I think it's a matter of, can the Nats be aggressive enough to offset the desire to play for a contender? I mean, Rhys Hoskins was in a World Series. His last game played was the World Series in 2022, right? He's not going to want to go to a rebuilding team. But if the Nats offer X amount more per year, or like more incentives, or you know, whatever it may be, to help offset that initial desire to go to a legitimate contender right now, I think that can really put them in play. Or, you know, they shift their attention to one of the third base bats, whether it's a Matt Chapman or a Jamer Candelario, or knowing the Nats, none of those guys are in play. They just wanted to, you know, shed salary. I don't know. But regardless, I was really concerned Dom Smith would be back, and I am overjoyed that he is not returning in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to skip right over him because he's pretty much irrelevant in the grand scheme of actual baseball. But yeah, it was basically our Christmas today. So
yeah,
that was pretty fun.
Yeah, but today is Christmas for you guys, because today is our free agency predictions episode. We're going to dive into the top 20 free agents. Maybe not necessarily the top 20 in terms of like the consensus rankings, but we'll do top 20 or like 20 names of the top guys, you know, whatever. But regardless, we're diving into that, giving our predictions for every single one. We'll do 10 more in depth and then do kind of a rapid fire 10 towards the end. But this is like one of my favorite episodes every year. I love calling my shot. I mean, you saw how much I called my Corey Seager shot. So I can only imagine what's going to come from this. Should I get some of these projections right, which, let's be honest, I definitely will. But Trey, do you have anything before we get started?
I'm the opposite. I'm scared because my predictions from last offseason were pretty bad. So,
do think my offseason predictions weren't the best, but my bold season predictions were on point.
Yeah, and I'm trying to do better this offseason.
Hey, that's all we can do. We just 1% better
improve.
Every day.
Yep.
1% better every day.
1-0 every day. That's right.
Yeah, all right. We're not doing that. Not doing that shit. Nope. No. Here I am trying to pick you up, be a good, nice co-host, and you have to go through. What are you going to mention, Matt, next? Like, is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, no. I just wanted to do a funny prank, because you're just so happy about Dom, and I just want to remind you who our manager is. But anyways, we should go ahead and get started on some of these free agent projections, because there's one specifically huge free agent. His name's Ohtani. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he's kind of a big deal. Never. And Nick, you've been talking. I know where you think he's going to go, or at least where you want him to go.
Yeah,
and I think
you want me to start it off?
Well, I was going to say, I think I've jumped on the bandwagon.
Yeah, officially. All right.
Because nice. I want to see Ohtani with the Chicago Cubs. I don't want to see him in L.A. or New York or Boston. I want him to go somewhere a little bit different. I think it would be fun. I'm not really – honestly, I don't really have a prediction for Ohtani, because he's kind of his own thing, really. He's not necessarily this huge
free agent. He's a unicorn.
Yeah, he's not necessarily about like the big payday. He's going to get paid regardless, so he's not really worried about it. It seems more like he wants to be somewhere where he's comfortable. So it's just a different look for a big free agent to sign with Chicago, like the one of the main free agents. So it would be really cool if they were to be, or if they were to pull that off.
It would be cool as a baseball fan, not cool as a Nats fan, just because the Nats and Cubs rebuilt at the same time. And here they are, players for the biggest free agent in baseball history. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I'm still on that bad bandwagon. Obviously, the Vegas odds have really shifted in the Cubs' favor. The Dodgers are still the betting favorites to land Ohtani, but the Cubs have jumped from like 10th to 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's pretty telling. Like, Vegas is more often than not correct, and they certainly know when things are shifting and tides are shifting. That's what, you know, they're paid to do. Or we pay them to do, because we always bet and just donate our hard-earned money to them. But yeah, I've been on the Shohei Ohtani to the Cubs train for a while, basically ever since the Cubs missed the playoffs. I told you, go back to that episode where we, you know, recapped the season and previewed the playoffs. I said that I would not be surprised if the Cubs went out and made a big splash. They did it in a way that I wasn't expecting, in hiring a division rivals manager, arguably one of the best managers in baseball, in Craig Counsell. And I don't think it's going to stop there. Like, their ownership clearly has a level of expectation when it comes to performance. And they know after a couple year reset that this team's ready to go, or at least on the cusp. So getting a bona fide manager in there, and presumably a bona fide free agent in Shohei Ohtani, can really take them over the top. So I'm still on that train. And I'm going to, I mean, I started this segment talking about all my victory laps, and this will be my biggest one for quite some time if this really comes to fruition. But according to MLB trade rumors, all of those guys still predict that he will go to the Dodgers. Again, it wouldn't surprise me. It's a short trip from Anaheim up to LA. And Ohtani gets to stay on the West Coast, which Trey, you alluded to. He initially signed with the Angels because of the proximity to Japan. And initially, like when he first came over from Japan, he basically ruled out the entire East Coast because it was just too far from Japan. But I think with the Cubs, they're not as far as the East Coast, but they're not necessarily close. But I think with their established interest in the Japanese market, obviously they already have Seiya Suzuki, and who knows, they might go out and get another one of the Japanese arms, or you know, whatever that were posted or will be posted in the coming years. I think that kind of helps Shohei be a little bit more comfortable, because I agree with you, I do think Shohei values the comfort and the fit just as much as the winning. And I think with the Cubs, he can do both. So
yeah, and I think money is the last thing he really cares about. So
MLB trade rumors has him at 12 years, $528 million.
He's gonna get a giant contract. I don't really think he cares about making it as large as possible, because like,
yeah,
that doesn't seem to be his personality. And he's already a freaking bazillionaire through endorsements, so it doesn't even matter about his contract, really.
Yeah, he's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about one of those Japanese arms I mentioned, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the World Baseball Classic. I mean, one of the World Baseball Classic aces. Japan just went out there and shoved the entire tournament. But he's being posted from, I was going to try to give his team name. But anyways, he's being posted. He won the Japanese Cy Young. And I'm recalling this from the COVID year pandemic, when it was just the Korean Baseball League going on, and how most scouts view the Japanese League and Korean League. They view the Korean League as equivalent to Double A, and Japanese baseball as basically in between Triple A and the majors, right? So a step down from the majors, but a step up from Triple A. So, you know, quadruple A, so to speak. Regardless, Yamamoto winning the Cy Young in Japan and having a 1.95 ERA in 143 innings. Yeah, that'll play. He's going to be an ace with whoever signs him. And listen, I initially said the Yankees would go out and get him. We don't have to spend too much time on this, but I think Brian Cashman's not doing himself any favors. He's really shooting himself in the foot. Long story short, he basically called out Giancarlo Stanton for always being injured. And Giancarlo Stanton's agent is also Yoshinobu Yamamoto's agent. So that did not
That's
resonate well.
interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, so I am officially pivoting from the Yankees to the New York Mets. It
Gross.
sucks. I don't want it, obviously, but we know the Mets to be aggressive. They obviously really need pitching, and they really want to cut the Yankees. So I think when you have all those factors working towards you, and now on Yamamoto's side, with them trying potentially trying to stick it to the Yankees, I think the Mets are bigger players than they ever have been before. So I'm going to say Yamamoto lands with the Mets.
I hate it, but unfortunately I could see it. But
Yep.
that's not who I picked. I went
Okay.
in a different direction since I was kind of leaving Ohtani open for a while for the Dodgers, but I ended up giving him to Chicago for this particular prediction. So I'll give the Dodgers Yamamoto. I think that they'll go out and get
Yeah.
they're going to get a starter. It doesn't really matter which one, but like they'll probably go for the top guy since they're the Dodgers. So it makes a lot of sense to me that they would pursue one of the top starters because they really struggled with pitching for like the first time in a while last season. So
And with a sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I see Yamamoto going to LA if Ohtani doesn't go there.
Yeah, especially with, I mean, Walker Buehler's coming back from injury. Clayton Kershaw, who knows what his future holds? I mean, he could go elsewhere. He's a free agent as well. Julio Urias doesn't deserve ever to play baseball again.
Yeah.
So yeah, they really, really need pitching. So it would not shock me at all, especially if they miss out on Ohtani and then decide to pivot to Yamamoto. My thought process is the Yamamoto sweepstakes get settled before the Ohtani sweepstakes, so the Dodgers kind of miss out on both.
Okay. That would be cool.
That's my thought process. All right, let's move on to the biggest MLB free agent pitcher in Blake Snell. Again, short and sweet. I think Blake Snell is deserves a lot more credit than he's getting right now. Everyone's so stuck on the, oh, he doesn't pitch deep into games. A lot of that's philosophy based between the Rays and Padres. Yeah, the walks are a little bit higher than you'd like, but I mean, the whip and the run prevention and all those other stats, like,
Hits per nine. That's the
yeah.
most telling.
So
He
I
just doesn't
think,
give up any hits.
right, I think they're just diving a little too deep into it. All that being said, he's going to win Cy Young. He's a two-time Cy Young Award winner. How often do those guys hit the market? He's going to get paid, and whoever pays him is going to get a really, really, really good pitcher. And unfortunately for the Nats, I have him going to the Phillies.
Bummer.
I think the fit makes sense. They could use a lefty, a high quality lefty. Like, no disrespect to Ranger Suarez, but obviously he's no Blake Snell. And obviously Aaron Nola is a free agent, so if they lose out on Aaron Nola, then Blake Snell is hardly a consolation prize. So I have him going to the Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get to my pitcher for the Phillies because I do have one, but it's not Blake
Nice.
Snell.
Okay.
I actually have Blake Snell heading to Boston
They're gonna
because,
make one move. I just can't tell
yeah,
which one.
they have to make a pitching move because they have nothing. It's like their best pitcher last year was like Cutter Crawford, and he was like, he was good, but that's not really the Red Sox way. They need an ace. And Chris Sale obviously isn't that guy anymore. That he was the last,
Not that guy, pal.
he's not that guy anymore, not that guy, pal. So, bring in the new lefty to replace him, Blake Snell. Come on down to Boston. I think that's where he's going to end up.
Yeah, MLB Trade Rumors has a 7-year, $200 million contract with Blake Snell. And we'll talk about the contracts in general here in a moment. But I guess in my mind, MLB players are still struggling to get paid, when in reality, the past couple of years, that hasn't been the case. Like, guys have been being paid and paid for a long time.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's just kind of the new norm.
Especially for this offseason, like, I've been thinking some of these numbers are going to be a lot bigger than people realize,
right?
Because baseball in general was bigger than it has been in forever.
Yeah.
So the revenue's there. That means that theoretically the salary should go up. But
yep.
We'll have to wait and see with that. But here's where I get to the Yankees is our next guy here.
Okay.
So my theory is that, you know, the Cashman and Steinbrenner are both like, we know what we're doing, and these other people don't, and they're not in our inner circle. I actually think that
right.
that's a whole bunch of posturing, and they're actually like, oh, we actually need to make something happen. We went 82-80 last year. 82-80 for the New York Yankees is basically like a 60-win season. So I actually anticipate them getting aggressive in the offseason. And I know that kind of goes against what people might be thinking right now, but I have them going out and getting Cody Bellinger. I thought the Cubs initially might bring him back, but I'm kind of on the bandwagon with you that they're going to pursue Ohtani. So that leaves Bellinger with a different landing spot. If I wouldn't anticipate the Cubs even trying to sign another free agent if they get Ohtani. But so yeah, I'm thinking that the short porch there is perfect for Bellinger. The Yankees need a big splash star to get their fan base back on their side, because the fans are not happy right now. So give me Cody Bellinger in New York. I don't really love that, because I kind of think he's back, and I don't like the Yankees, but at the end of the day, they got big money there. So I think that's where he ends up.
Listen, I can see it. For those that follow District on Deck, we put out our stat predictions on there, and I actually did have Cody Bellinger going to the Yankees. You know, maybe I'm just trying to be spicy. Maybe there actually is something to the Brian Cashman thing that's really soured some free agent interest. You know, obviously if the Yankees pay up, then everyone's going to forget what Cashman like said. So it won't matter. I am going to change my initial prediction though again.
Okay.
I am all on the Yankees really shooting themselves in the foot and just continuing to spiral. I think it's good for baseball. So
it's instead, good for everyone that's not a Yankees fan.
Right. I will preface this by saying, if the Cubs don't get Ohtani, I fully expect them to turn their entire efforts towards Bellinger. And if that's the case, then I think it would happen that Cody Bellinger goes back to the Cubs. But again, in my predictions, the Cubs land Ohtani. They don't have the money to pay for Bellinger. So Bellinger becomes the face of the franchise for a team that's been trying desperately for years, basically since the Bryce Harper free agency, to get a face of the franchise. That is the San Francisco Giants.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of where I thought you were going.
They've tried so hard and to the point where I almost feel bad for them, because
got so far,
you know,
it didn't even matter.
But like they've been trying for years, and I feel bad for them, because typically we're like, baseball owners are cheap, they never spend. The Giants are trying to spend. It's just nobody goes there. Like they try to get Bryce Harper. Obviously, we know the Carlos Correa fiasco. They went after Aaron Judge, like
Arson Judge.
Right. So it's like they've tried for some of the biggest names in baseball, but I think Cody Bellinger is inevitably the one that sticks. And he just becomes that face of the franchise. Because listen, Cody Bellinger is a 28-year-old former MVP that hits free agent coming off an all-star season. Like, how often does that happen? Basically, Bryce. End of list, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
So Cody Bellinger is going to get like a 12-year deal. I fully expect that. And the Giants not really having a ton of long-term high AAV deals in place already, they can afford to quote-unquote overpay for Bellinger in order to secure him up long-term and make him face a franchise. So I think Cody Bellinger is going to the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, financially it makes sense. Like you're exactly right that they're not committing a bunch of long-term money right now to anybody really. Mm-hmm. So they definitely have the option of doing so. It's funny, because I actually had Bellinger going to the Giants at first until I decided to play this Yankees narrative that I'm playing now. But yeah, so it would be a good fit there though. It would make a lot of sense.
Yep.
And So now moving over to back to starting pitching, off of our position player, Mr. Bellinger, going to Aaron Nola. So Aaron Nola's already been looked at, I believe, by the Braves and Cardinals.
Correct.
And I have him going to the Cardinals. So the reason I do is because, again, this is another team that struggled to put together consistent starting pitching last year. You know, especially while they were force feeding Adam Wainwright starts with a 7 ERA. But yeah, they need to make some kind of move here for a starting pitcher. It would make sense for them to go out and get one, pretty much any of these guys. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say Aaron Nola is going to the Cardinals. I don't know why exactly. It just fits in my brain. So they're going to go for one of them, and I pick Nola to be that guy. So yeah, the Cardinals are in an interesting spot in general, just because they underperform so poorly, but they still have like a decent roster. So I'm kind of curious as to see what they do this offseason, if they go fully, if they try to push fully with this group that they have currently, if they're maybe if they start selling off some assets. But I kind of expect them to push and go for some free agents. And I think Nola's that guy.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the smart move would be to sell off Goldschmidt and Arenado, but I also agree that they're going to go for it. And short and sweet, I have Aaron Nola going to the Cardinals as well.
Hey, there we go.
I think they need pitching. I know they need pitching. They need an ace. And I don't know if I would necessarily consider Aaron Nola an ace. I think he's a very good number two, but that's fine. Like, you know, he's still going to get paid. He still deserves to get paid.
Yeah.
He's one of the most durable and consistent pitchers in baseball. And that's worth something. So I think the Cardinals will outbid potentially the Phillies and the Braves and possibly the Dodgers for Aaron Nola's services and make him their ace of the future.
Yeah, that's awesome. We had the same one there. Awesome. So then we're going to the best reliever in the market, Josh Hader, coming off a really good season in San Diego. I've seen contracts going up to like 5-6 seasons on the contract for him, which kind of
risky
insane to me for a reliever, but he is a very, very good reliever. And to me, the contender that makes the most sense is the Texas Rangers, because although they just won the World Series, it was very clear and obvious that their bullpen is definitely the weak spot. It's not really a question. They were kind of just forcing Josh Spores to pick up like ample innings all postseason, and it worked, but
it worked.
It's not something you want to, you know, fall into the habit of doing. So they get a reliable back end of their bullpen pitcher for years to come, probably 4 or 5 or maybe even 6 seasons, which would be pretty insane. But they have obviously shown the willingness to spend a ton of money, and it's worked for them. So I don't see why they would stop.
I like it. I also like the Rangers staying aggressive, not getting complacent after winning World Series. So I like both. I have a little bit of a spicy take.
Oh, okay.
And it's surprising because this team shouldn't be all that surprising when it comes to free agency and spending. I have Josh Hader going to the Dodgers. I think that they could potentially miss out on some of the top guys like an Ohtani, Yamamoto. And while I do expect them to address starting pitching in a significant way, what's the best way to make up for weaker starting pitching? A stronger bullpen. I also, for Hader's perspective, I think he's trying to break Edwin Diaz's mark for a reliever contract record.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And I think the Dodgers are really the only team that would do that. So like a 5-year, $105 million deal for Josh Hader in LA, I think that makes sense for both sides. So I have Josh Hader going to the Dodgers.
Yeah, it is interesting that you point out that for normal free agents, you'd be like, okay, the Dodgers make sense because they pay everyone. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they've been such a pitching lab recently. They haven't had to do as much, big name free agent bullpen acquisitions, because either they've found guys and put them in their pitching lab and made them elite, or they've had guys from their farm system come up and play. Well, so yeah, from that perspective, it is a little weird to float the Dodgers there, but it makes sense if they do miss out on some of the bigger starters.
They also paid, I mean, this is a couple of years ago, but they also were willing to like give Kenley Jansen the reliever contract record as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah,
so they have historical precedent to pay relievers big money, which I think is important here.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wasn't thinking much about Jansen, but yeah, that's actually crazy that they paid him that much during that portion of his career where you're starting to
They
decline a little
outbid the
bit.
Nats. The Nats,
That's
he was almost a national.
That's right. I forgot about
We can make like an
that.
all-star cal or like a playoff caliber team out of the guys that were almost nationals.
Yeah, that's probably, we should, yeah, let's do that this offseason,
Yeah,
maybe.
next
That would be fun.
episode.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Yeah, let's move on to the next guy. Sonny Gray is next on the list. One of the more underrated arms in baseball. Also, one of the older quality arms. So he might be in demand because teams won't have to shell out a 7-year deal for Sonny Gray. Who knows? Maybe a team goes Darvish on him and pays him till he's 40, 41. I don't know. But on paper, Sonny Gray, probably like a 4-year deal. That's what MLB Trade Rumors has him getting. I could see this going a ton of ways. I can see him going to back to Minnesota. I can see him going to Philly. I can see him going to Atlanta. At the end of the day, though, I mentioned it. The Dodgers are going to address their starting pitching in one way, and I think they'll quote unquote overpay in terms of AAV. Similar to like a Trevor Bauer deal where it's a really high AAV, but like for 3 years with like an opt-out or something like that to leave the Dodgers some wiggle room. So I have Sonny Gray going to the Dodgers because they miss in my predictions, they miss out on Nola, Yamamoto and Snell. So Sonny Gray to the Dodgers for me.
Gotcha. Yeah. So this is where I bring in my Phillies pitcher here is
there it
Mr.
is.
Sonny Gray. So, it would make sense. For again, Phillies to be looking for another starter since Nola is probably going to walk. So why not bring in Sonny Gray to replace him? He was excellent last year. And like you said, they don't have to commit a huge year total to Sonny Gray if they do go a little bit higher on the AAV. Because yeah, he's gonna be like 34, which is crazy to think about, especially when you look at what he looks like.
He's been around forever,
but
he was on the Athletics like wild card, those like really good A's teams that were in the wild card game, which is so absurd to think about.
Yeah, because he looks like he's 25.
Right.
So it's pretty funny. But I have Gray going to the Phillies and Braves, and like all you know, all the big contenders are all going to get one of these starters. It just depends on which one they get.
Right.
So, but yeah, so then we're moving to a totally different starting pitcher, who I've mentioned multiple times now, throughout our playoff, episodes and everything that he's earned himself a lot of money by pitching really well in the playoffs. And that's Jordan Montgomery.
Great way to get paid.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, contenders looking at those playoff performances and they're saying, you know, we're going to pay you for that. And if you do that, then we're going to love you. So I think it would probably make sense for the Rangers to pursue a reunion here, but also I don't think they're going to, because once again, I'm bringing my Yankees narrative back. I am going to say that a reunion is happening in New York instead of Texas.
Yeah.
He's going to be a Yankee. And I think that they're going to think that they messed up when they traded him, and they're going to try and rectify that by re-signing him. We'll see if that works out, but it's just kind of a funny outcome to me. So I want it to happen.
I can see it.
It would make sense. Here, I'll pull up the Yankees Photoshop of Jordan Montgomery right now. Oh my God. Wow. Look how good that
first
is.
Look.
First look at Monty in a Yankee uniform. But yeah, so that's my spot for Jordan Montgomery.
So the rumor mill has Boston all over Jordan Montgomery. That makes a lot of sense to me. You had what, Snell going to Boston?
Yeah.
So them landing a premier starting pitcher would not be surprising. And I do think Boston's going to be heavily involved. But again, in this situation so far, I don't have the Rangers getting anybody. And I think Jordan Montgomery is just like an ideal candidate to remain in Texas. Obviously they know what they have in him. He pitched exceptional there. No state tax in Texas. I think there's a lot of things going for the Rangers if they did decide to pursue Jordan Montgomery. And after the way he pitched in the playoffs, I don't know why you wouldn't. So I have Jordan Montgomery staying in Texas.
Yep, I can absolutely see it. It would make sense for them to try and keep him there because he was just elite with the Rangers. So good. I mean, he was good. He was good with the Cardinals last year too. But I mean, it was a different.
It was good with the Yankees. He's kind of a good pitcher.
He's kind of a good. Yeah, it was weird that the Yankees traded him initially, but that's in the past now. So maybe they'll try and bring him back and get some goodwill with their fans again. But yeah, they were heading out to a DH candidate, the biggest, probably one of the bigger, just pure DH candidates, I would say, mm-hmm. This offseason. And that's JD Martinez, who had another great season in LA. Again, another guy that I could see just going for the reunion and heading back to the Dodgers on a 1 year contract or something. But I decided to throw him somewhere else, because I felt like I needed to give this team somebody, even though on paper they have a very complete roster. They just have kind of disappointed when it counts, and that's the Toronto Blue Jays. They did take a slight step back in terms of power last year, which is why I decided to inject their lineup with a powerful hitting DH and a guy that can still go to the opposite field well, which lines up with Toronto's hitting philosophy. And you're talking about a stadium that it's not Dodger Stadium. Let's just put it that way. So it makes sense for the stadium, makes sense for the team, because they need some home run power and they need a DH. So I'm going JD Martinez to the Blue Jays.
Yeah. I could see that as well. We'll talk about the Blue Jays as we rattle off the remainder of our predictions. They're going to need to do something. Because they have a really talented roster, but obviously it's not enough to get to where they want to go, and they really disappointed this past year. I have JD Martinez going to the Mets.
yeah.
I think they're very tired of DHing guys like Daniel Vogelbach, they're going to go after the high-priced flyers that I wish the Nationals would go after. So JD Martinez would have a hot first half in New York and then be traded at the deadline for – you know, another top 100 prospect that Steve Cohen decides to buy from a team in order, you know, and pays the remainder of JD Martinez's salary in order to do so, which is just so annoyingly awesome.
Yeah, no, like it's hilarious.
Going out and buying top 100 prospects.
Hey, if you can do it, why not? There's no cap in this league.
Yeah, exactly. So I have JD Martinez going to the Mets. And rounding out our top 10, we're going to go to Toronto in one of their premier free agents, and Matt Chapman. I've been on the Matt Chapman bandwagon. I can also say I really underestimated the contract Matt Chapman was going to get. MLB trade rumors. I had it right here. They have him at 6 years, $150 million. Slightly more than my 3 year, $60 million pact that I thought he would be getting. So yeah,
that's more than I did. Personally.
Certainly changes my initial outlook. I did have him back in Toronto. I don't think they're going to give him that kind of money when they're going to be looking to extend, you know, Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And they're already paying, you know, a couple of pitchers and things like that. So I don't see that happening, but I do see another premier team who really surprised this year, but they were a year too early, but they're willing to eat money and DFA a terrible starting pitcher, and they made the World Series.
Yep.
Yep. I think Matt Chapman's going to Arizona. I think Arizona's going to land one of these guys. They clearly have a need at third base. Matt Chapman is well worth his value defensively, but also no slouch offensively either. And he can provide a strong veteran leadership in that lineup to a bunch of young guys who were very close to winning the World Series. So I have Matt Chapman going to Arizona.
I love it. I actually initially, before I changed it, had him going to the D-backs because the fit makes a lot of sense.
It really
does. It's actually perfect there. I hope that you're right. But I ended up changing it to the stinky Mets because they don't have they don't have a third baseman, and
Lindor and Chapman on the left side. Jesus. Yeah, and
especially when you mentioned what they were thinking, or he rejected a contract that was like $150 million.
Yeah, I think it was 5 years, $100 million, or 5 years, $120 million. Something like that.
So I mean, it would make sense for the Mets to come in and pick up the tab because they got the money to do so. But yeah, I think the fit is absolutely best in Arizona, and I would like them to pursue one of these top guys. I don't have them doing so, but I want to be surprised because
I think they will. I'm optimistic.
I hope so. Yeah. But I'm going to go with the Mets there because they don't have a for sure third baseman right now. Brett Beatty's kind of a question mark. He hasn't really shown enough to get a starting role. So it would make sense for them to get another power bat. Like you went with JD and I'm going with Chappie. So the Mets, obviously they're going to get somebody in the top. So that's my Mets pick.
I can see it. All right, let's rattle off our remaining 10. Let's start with Jorge Soler. Where do you have him going?
I got Soler to the Giants because, like you said, with Bellinger, they're looking for an outfielder, and I don't have them getting Bellinger, so they'll go with the consolation, which is Soler.
I would love to put Jorge Soler in a Curly W uniform. I think he would solve a lot of the problems. He could DH, especially now with Joey Meneses presumably moving to first base. But I think Toronto does try to address their power issues. Jorge Soler goes up north to Canada and plays for the Blue Jays next season. Next guy, Eduardo Rodriguez, probably the best starting pitcher remaining on the market. Where do you have Eduardo Rodriguez going?
This is where Atlanta gets their guy. I believe Eduardo Rodriguez is heading to the Braves because they still need some starting pitching help with the injuries that they've had in their rotation.
Yeah. Once again, I could really see a Boston swooping in here. Obviously, he started his career in Boston, and I think it's a logical fit. But I got to put the Dodgers here. They tried to trade for him at the deadline. He opted not to due to family reasons. He wanted to be closer to his family. Those geographical restrictions are no longer. He said that. And I think the Dodgers now not having to give up prospects in order to acquire him are more likely to go out and get him, free of charge, so to speak. They get Sonny Gray, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Josh Hader. That's a great way to build up a pitching staff that really struggled last year. Next guy we're talking.
You went big on the Dodgers for this offseason.
Yeah, right.
It would make sense.
If you're going to shell out $500 million for Ohtani, right? And then you miss out on Ohtani, you kind of already budgeted $500 million to spend.
Yeah.
So go give Hader $100 million, Rodriguez $100 million, and, Sonny Gray $90 million. And, you're getting three guys for the price of one.
It would still make some money to spare. When you put it like, yeah, they're already budgeting for that, it would make sense.
Yeah.
So then we're moving on to, do you have Lourdes Gurriel next on your list? Okay. So I have Gurriel heading to the Mariners because the Mariners, we kind of know that they don't go for the biggest guys, but they're going to want to improve. So I believe that they will replace Teoscar Hernandez with Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Yeah, I really like the Mariners pick. I kind of have two equally. I know that's kind of cheating.
It's okay.
The Astros are going to sign somebody. I just don't know who. So I gave them a corner outfielder to kind of sort of replace Michael Brantley. And Lourdes Gurriel seems like a guy to go to. Yeah, I mean, he had a great year last year, but he seems like the kind of guy to go to Houston and then really excel. The other one I could see is the Marlins. The Marlins, in my simulation, have lost out on Jorge Soler. They were obviously a playoff team last year. I think they can go out and, you know, get another big bat to replace Soler. And so I could see Gurriel going to either one. So I'm cheating there. Next guy is the aforementioned Teoscar Hernandez. You have the Mariners sort of moving on. So where do you have Hernandez landing?
I have the Dodgers picking him up as a power bat. I feel like it would, the fit for me is the reason why. It's because Teoscar Hernandez's batted ball data is a little spooky for most teams because he swings and misses a lot, but then you get him in the freaking LA Dodgers lab and he'll be fine. So it would make a lot of sense to me for them to pursue him if they don't get one of the other big free agents.
Yep, I could see that as well. So I made this prediction prior to the recent news that all options are on the table, and now I feel like they're going to sell. But just on the off chance they don't, I initially had Teoscar Hernandez going to the Brewers. They also have lineup issues, and if they decide to go for it one last time, which I think would be a mistake, but you never know, I think he would be a good addition. He's kind of trending towards a primary DH at this point, but obviously now all teams have the DH, so it's a little bit more opportunity for Hernandez in free agency. My pivot would be like a team like the Dodgers or the Blue Jays and the Mariners that could use that big bat. So I could definitely see that. All right. The one Nats fans are clamoring for, Rhys Hoskins. Obviously the Phillies are moving Bryce Harper to first base permanently, which means Hoskins is officially on his way out of Philly. Where do you have him landing?
I do not have Rhys Hoskins landing in DC. I'm sorry, Nats fans, but I don't. I actually have him. This is another fit. I don't know if they would actually do it, but the Cleveland Guardians need some homers. And I feel like Rhys Hoskins is the perfect guy to do that, where they're not going to give him a multi-year deal because they don't really do that except for Jose Ramirez. And they would be able to get some power in a lineup that really, really needs it. They still have really good young pitching. They still have a great bullpen. They just need to add some thunder to that lineup. So give me the Guardians.
I like it. I like the thought process. I would obviously love Hoskins in DC. I think they get outbid. And to really rub salt in the wound, I think they get outbid by the team that rebuilt at the same time they did. I think Rhys Hoskins signs with the Cubs on a one-year deal to rejuvenate his value. The Cubs, obviously, they can afford to shell out, you know, the $20 million it'll take to get him for 1 year, and then obviously have him come off the books in 2025, so they're not, you know, shelling out two insane long-term contracts in the same offseason. Because, again, in my simulation, they have Ohtani. I think Hoskins can rejuvenate his value there in Chicago on a really competitive team. The Cubs can kind of – I think Matt Mervis is their first base prospect. They can kind of bring him along slowly rather than inserting him into a playoff caliber team, you know, as a rookie. So I think Hoskins to Chicago makes a lot of sense in my mind. All right, the last couple guys here. Lucas Giolito, bounce back candidate. Supreme, where do you have him landing?
Bring him home. Bring him home.
I would love it.
Bring him home. He's coming home to DC. The Nationals like to pay their starting pitchers, so bring him home on a one-year deal. Let's see if we can get a bounce back season and maybe trade him for his prospects.
Would love that. A big theme of mine is teams replacing guys that they lost in free agency. I have Lucas Giolito landing in Minnesota. I think Minnesota got a taste of winning this year, obviously, in the postseason. They're not going to want to just like sit on their hands and let all their premier guys leave without trying to replace them. I think he goes to Minnesota. They try to give it another push in 2024 for a postseason run. Whit Merrifield is next on our list. Enjoyed an all-star campaign with the Blue Jays last year, a little bit older, but still some value. Where do you have Whit Merrifield landing?
So I had Whit. I was trying to figure out exactly what he might be thinking and is if he's just trying to join a contender and go for the ring or if he wants to start, because I think there's some places where he can get a starting spot. And I ended up going with the latter and put him with the Pittsburgh Pirates as their starting second baseman and a guy that the Pirates could potentially trade to a contender if he does play well. It gives Whit the option to be a starter and prove that he still has some gas left in the tank. And it would make a lot of sense to me if he is thinking that in that way.
I can definitely see it. I was along the same lines as you and trying to think of a marriage of a place where he can start, but also be on a contending team, or at least like a fringe playoff team. I have Whit Merrifield landing in Seattle. I think they've been trying to address the second base position for a while. They don't want to completely give up. Although I would like to see them be a little bit more aggressive than they have been. Like, they went out and got Luis Castillo at the deadline and then kind of stopped there. Mm-hmm. So I would love to see them really make a splash. I don't think Whit Merrifield is as big of a splash as I'm sure their fans were hoping for, but I think Whit Merrifield can also provide the Mariners some value in their 2024 hopes as well. Not the last pitcher, but the last kind of multi-year pitcher we're talking about is Marcus Stroman. Again, in my simulation, I have the Cubs getting Ohtani and then Rhys Hoskins. I do think they really need pitching, but I think they'll probably need to look elsewhere with so much money committed to position players. So I have Marcus Stroman going to the Diamondbacks. I think the Diamondbacks are really going all in. They go get Matt Chapman. They go get Marcus Stroman, and they try to make a run at this thing once again. I have Marcus Stroman going to the Diamondbacks.
I hope you're right, because once again, I have a guy that you have going to Arizona, going to the Mets. So I hope that he does go to Arizona and not the Mets. But, you know, he was pretty beloved as a Met, so it would make a lot of sense. He seemed to like playing there, and the city responded well to his energy. So I see the Mets swooping in for a starter there and getting Stroman back.
Yep. Next guy, Jamer Candelario, obviously was great with the National, in line for multi-year deals, sizable payday, pay increase from his last deal, which was just $5 million over 1 year. I initially had him going to Arizona, and I still think that's a big possibility, but I have the Diamondbacks paying up for Matt Chapman, so they wouldn't need Candelario. But again, recurring theme here, Blue Jays lost Matt Chapman, so they go get Jamer Candelario to fill the third base need. I think he provides a great fit to their lineup, can switch hit, has some pop, plays a solid defense. I think the Blue Jays get Jamer Candelario.
Yeah, that's actually a really good fit in terms of their hitting philosophy as well. Line drives, doubles, stuff like that, so that makes sense to me as well. But I actually have Candelario joining the New York Yankees. They are in the market for a third baseman. They have Oswaldo Peraza, who is an interesting prospect, but he can also play second base. So I don't think that should have any kind of that shouldn't block Candelario from being signed. So I have him going to New York.
I like it. And the last guy we're going to talk about today is Jack Flaherty, short and sweet. I haven't mentioned them once, but I know they're going to make a move somewhere. I have Jack Flaherty going to the Braves and trying to resurrect his career in Atlanta on a competitive playoff team.
For Jack Flaherty, I put him in Detroit. And the reason I did so is because it seems like Detroit is in the prime spot to make a move and potentially get one of these big free agents. They went 78-84. They're in a weaker division. Some of their younger players have played better last year, mm-hmm. So it looks like maybe they're coming along. I couldn't find the right fit there, though, so I just kind of went ahead and threw the Tigers Flaherty just to say, hey, I see you, but there's I don't really know what team. They're gonna do. Yeah.
Yep.
But honestly, you know, they played okay last year, so if they were to sign a guy, it wouldn't actually be that surprising to me.
I could see it. And I think it's funny how neither of us mentioned the Orioles, which is very fitting for that ownership. Yep.
Yeah. Because of that dude. So, yeah. Yep.
So
prove otherwise.
Sorry, O's fans.
Prove right. otherwise. Sorry. And maybe we'll predict next year that you'll sign some people.
Sorry, O's fans. But that does it for our top 20 predictions. Obviously, we'll revisit them as they turn out to be right. And if they're completely wrong, we'll just never mention them
when
again.
When they're all correct, we'll be back to toot our own horns, and when they're right. all wrong, we won't mention them forever and banish them to never exist again.
Exactly. But here's to hoping that the MLB offseason picks up here in the coming weeks. Hoping no more poo viruses infect the meetings. For anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, there's a virus that upset some stomachs at the general manager meetings last week. So
a literal shit show.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. Yeah, that was good. But yeah, so here's to hoping that the market picks up and we get some movement and some news in the coming weeks. But be sure to follow us on Twitter at DistrictBSB. Trey and my handles are below. If you're watching on YouTube, or obviously if you go on Twitter, you'll find us there too. And yeah, that's pretty much all we got. Trey, you got anything before we head out?
Let's turn on the stove. I need the stove to get warm.
Let's make sure the stove works.
Yeah, like, yeah. Let's get it going. Let's test the waters here and get some, because nothing's really happened and I'm bored. So yeah. let's turn it on at least.
All right. Final prediction before we head out. Who's the first guy to sign? Really quick.
First guy to sign is going to be
calling it right now, Eduardo Rodriguez.
That's a good one. I will go with Oscar Hernandez.
All right, there we go. All right, guys, we appreciate it, and we will see you guys next week.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.